Hey guys, it's your favorite sisters here with the Confessions of a Reluctant Caregiver show on UK Health Radio. On the show, you'll hear caregivers confessing the good, the bad, and the completely unexpected. You're guaranteed to relate, be inspired, leave with helpful tips and resources, and of course, laugh. Today's episode is part of our special series, Heroes Caring for Heroes. We're partnering with the Fisher House Foundation to highlight our brothers and sisters in care who are courageously sharing their caregiving journeys for both the seen and unseen scars of military life and war. Now, let's jump right in to today's hero confession.
You make me feel like dancing.
I knew. I want to dance the night away.
You make me feel... I'm sorry. We were singing this before we started.
I know.
And having a very thorough conversation.
About the lyrics.
Yeah. And honestly, it's just overrated to have the right words. But we're here for a podcast today.
We are.
And this is a very special series.
It is. We're not going to dance.
We're not going to dance, but this is the Heroes Caring for Heroes series, which recognizes our active duty service members and veteran caregivers of these individuals. And today, we have an amazing guest. Wait, before I even get to the guest,
I also want to recognize
CVS Health. Mm-hmm. I want to recognize Tenna.
That's exactly right.
Our leading incontinence brand, who is also supporting this program, and Care Forward also.
Yeah.
And so we've got a couple of folks that are helping to bring this to everybody. But I want to get to our guest today because...
I'm ready.
This gentleman is quite the person. And so now he's looking at me. Now everybody's going to see your face, Tom, because this is recorded on YouTube.
Yeah, so you got to be
smiling.
You're
going to have to pretend like you're like, oh, those sisters.
I love them.
Those sisters.
Oh,
yes. Sisters always wanted.
So I will say this caregiver is taking care of his son, and I think they've got a bachelor pad. I'm not sure.
I'm going to tell you, it's nothing but a good time at their house.
I know. So let me tell you, we have got Tom DeLue with us today, and I'm going to say I don't even know where to start. We ask caregivers to send us a little background and their story. I'm pretty sure, Tom, that you've got a book. Like, you need to write a book because...
Oh, my God, it's so funny.
He's got a story. So, Tom was raised in a middle-class family. He joined the Army after high school, and he spent 34 years in law enforcement. Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's his story.
But it's so much fun.
I know. So, but in that story, he said something. He said, the night Jack was born was the night I found out why I was put on this earth. That's his son, Jack.
I love that sentence. It made me very emotional after having met Tom, and I thought, oh, Tom's sweet.
I know. That's really sweet. And so that was in 1994. In 2022, Tom became the full-time caregiver for Jack, who, while stationed at Fort Bragg, suffered a motorcycle crash that left him paralyzed from the waist down. How did Tom prepare for this? He took online courses, which I love, to find out all the expectations and all of the things that were afforded to him through the VA Caregiver Support Program. He used them as well. So today, Tom says being a full-time caregiver for someone in a wheelchair is a lot of work, but it doesn't seem so bad when you're doing it and taking care of someone that you love so much. It's just kind of a willing obligation.
I love willing obligation. When you wrote that, Tom, it was I saw a willing obligation. I love it. It's a true thing because you can have an obligation, but you're willing to do that obligation. And so I love that. Tom, thank you so much for being on the show with us. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Oh, awesome. So we have, we've been chit-chatting with Tom for quite some time, and he is quite the character. So we're all going to try to be on our A game for this one, guys.
Yes.
So because Tom is unbelievably hilarious, and we've been working this morning to get this started, and Jack has been even helping. Now, Jack goes, you call Jack Dugan. And
yes.
So,
okay.
Jack is your son and who you care for and who is in the military.
We're waiting for the test to come back.
Yeah, of course. So I knew that was coming.
I know.
I mean, if for our viewers and listeners, when you see these photos, there's no denying this is a father and son dynamic.
Absolutely.
So Tom, why don't we start from the beginning? Tell us a little bit about your history, a little bit about family history, kind of go through life and then bring us up to Jack.
Okay, well, I mean, my parents were from Massachusetts. My older sister and brother were born in Massachusetts. Then they moved to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where me and my little sister were born.
Yeah.
So we lived there till I was 9. My dad was in sales. My mom was a homekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
We moved to Florida for 2 years. And then we came back to North Carolina. Yeah. And that's where I went to junior high school and then high school. Yeah. And I wanted to be a police officer, but I didn't want to be a police cadet and just take reports and wash cards.
Mm-hmm.
So until I was 18, so until I was 21, I just didn't want to do that. So I joined the Army. So I joined the Army as a military and went in as a military policeman.
Okay.
In 1973, I went in. And then in 74, I got sent to Berlin, Germany. Mm. West Berlin, that was where there was still the wall up.
And yeah.
That was awesome. Awesome. I mean, 19 years old in Germany. Great.
I'd say that was you're nothing but trouble, but keep going.
But then I was fortunate that I played in the golf tournament, and I did real well in the golf tournament, and this is where all the draftees were getting out. Mm-hmm. And the draftees were draftees working at the golf course. So I went from being an MP, and the W4 offered me a job as giving lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked at the golf course and then played golf all around Europe for the next 2.5 years.
No kidding.
That's it was tough. Awesome. It was tough.
It's terrible for
so,
you.
But I, you know, a strong moral character that I have. So I got out of the Army. Mm-hmm. I should have stayed in, but I got out of the Army and I came home, went to college for a year at Elon. And then I turned pro. I turned teaching pro in Greensboro, North Carolina.
So you were sort of good at golf, not like putt-putt.
Oh, no. Real golf.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Because... I mean, yeah, I'm pretty good at the miniature golf down in Myrtle Beach. But anyway,
I'm sure you are.
Thank you. So did you sidebar here? Did you play in high school or when did you pick up golf? I'm just kind of general.
I played football, basketball, baseball. I was a pitcher. I loved baseball. My junior year and during the summer ball, I threw my arm out and we didn't have the money or insurance to get my elbow fixed.
Yeah.
So my senior year, I just played golf.
Oh.
And I mean, I played golf since I was 6. My family were golfers.
Okay.
And so it just got good to me. I played my senior year and could have gone on with it, but I just, you know, wanted to be a policeman.
Yeah. Okay. So you went into, so you were actually a policeman in Virginia. Is that right? For a window
when
of time?
When I got out and golf didn't work out, I played in a golf tournament up in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back up to Virginia Beach,
mm-hmm.
and I was staying with some friends, and they said, I guess they wanted me out of the house, because they said, well, what are you going to do?
It's time to run.
So I said, well, I wanted to be a policeman, and so one of the girls said, well, Portsmouth is hiring. And I said, well, what's a Portsmouth? And it's just a little town across the river.
That's right. Yeah.
So I went over there and applied one day, and about a week later, they hired me.
I bet they did. Yeah. P-Town's a good place to work there if you want to cut your teeth into policing. Yeah. So yeah. Having lived there.
Yeah, that you talked about High Point earlier.
Yeah.
Portsmouth was fun.
So you were there for a couple of years. You get injured. And so
I get hurt and my mom wanted me to come home.
Okay.
So I went home.
Yeah. And so there. And then you're moving right along.
Yeah.
And at some point you go back, you went back in the military for a window of time.
Yeah. Matter of fact, it was after Portsmouth.
Yeah.
That's right. After Portsmouth, when I left, I went back in the military because it was in 81.
Yeah.
And I went back in for 3 years.
And then you went on to a full-time position in High Point, right? You left and went into policing. That's where you met.
When I got out of the Army in 84, I went back and I got hired with High Point Police.
Yeah.
And that's where it started my North Carolina career.
Yeah. Mm. And that's where you you were an officer for over 34 years, right?
34 years. Yes, ma'am.
See, look at that. Wow. That was good. You have a good name.
I do have a good memory.
I worked in several ages. I worked High Point, and I worked in Wilmington for 8 years. Then I worked down towards Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So, I've been, and I finally retired to Elon, down to Elon.
Tom, are other people in your family members of the military? Is that
My older brother was Army, mm-hmm. and then he was in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. My older sister's husband was in the Army, okay. but he was an officer. He didn't count. He was in Vietnam. He never saw combat. My dad was Coast Guard Reserve during World War II.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. There's service in your all's family.
Yeah.
There is service. Part of service.
The really cool thing was when Dugan was 9 years old, he just, he was going in the Army.
At
he didn't want to be like he didn't want to be like Dad and Uncle Dana. So,
well, but so this, said, this speaks okay. to this speaks to though when you because I know that you met your ex-wife because she was also an officer, and then you all had Jack, who again Dugan, and but going back to what JJ you said when we introduced, it was the day he was born. It was just like that's your person. Like, I love that. And then, that's what I think about. Like, you said, hey, Jack's been your person. And I see it in the images that we'll be sharing of him growing up with you guys. So tell us about that. Like, Jack decided at 9, after I'm sure hearing you and your brother and other family members talking about that service. Why do you think that was the primary piece that he just wanted to because of everybody else? I love this.
Well, I think so. I mean, he was, from the time he was born, he was either on my arm or on my shoulders. I mean, he didn't learn to walk till he was four. he was my baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I took care of him. I mean, Beth didn't have to do anything, really. I mean, she just loved it. Because, I mean, I carried him everywhere. I mean, he was mine. I mean, I used to play softball and played a lot of golf, and when he came along, I just waited till he was old enough to swing a golf club. I'd get off work, and it was us. I mean, we were just
your best buds. I love that. And so, life is moving along, and I know that you got divorced at one point, and so it was you and Jack, and mm-hmm. and you and I feel like it's Tom and Jack against the world, to be honest.
I do.
Like, I think that you guys had the most, I just see you guys having lots of fun together because I get a sense of your relationship that way from the conversations we've had. So Jack turns, graduates from high school and immediately enlists. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. He did ROTC, NJROTC, mm-hmm. all 4 years and loved it. If it wasn't for that and lacrosse, he probably wouldn't have gone to school. He just loved those two classes.
How did you feel?
Lacrosse wasn't a class.
Yeah, that's right. But, how did you feel when he said I'm going
there's a funny lacrosse story, but I'm not going to.
Oh, probably a good idea.
Well, you said it was a clean show.
Yeah.
It wasn't really. It was just striking. But anyway, he graduated in June, and in July he was in the Army, and in the following April or May he was in Afghanistan. He went in quick and got there early.
Yeah. What? I guess my question is, you had a good idea, especially with your brother being in Vietnam. You had a good idea of what he was getting into. You've been in the military as well. What are your thoughts when he says, I'm going in, and then he gets sent to Afghanistan? What are you thinking as a dad? And he's your best friend, basically.
I couldn't have been more proud. I mean, he was my kid. And, I mean, his mother had him from 4 and a half until he was 12. Then he came to live with me.
Yeah.
And I was a policeman. I was a firearms instructor. Taught rapid deployment to active shooter, which more officers need to take. And he just loved it. He just, everything I did, he came with me. When I worked off duty ball games, he'd come and sit with the cheerleaders because he was a cute little kid.
He was cute. I can verify that. He was very cute.
Yeah, but so he had a good time. He had a good time with Dad. And so everywhere I went, he went.
Well, and I know that, and then you guys were separated because I know when he went in, he did tours abroad. And then he got injured, and he didn't get injured in combat. He actually got injured while at home, and he had a motorcycle accident. And this was the first of two.
Yes, ma'am.
So, and that, I think, would you say that was your first stint as being, that you would say, I was a formal caregiver for him at that point? Because you had to think about being a parent and caring versus I have a child that is injured and they need extra. They need, I've got to do extra support. I'm having to do extra things, if that makes sense.
Well, it does. But it really wasn't that bad then, because what happened is they had been out in the field, and then they had a bunch of guys get together with their families, and then a big get together at a dance club, not a dance club, but a, you know, Texas.
Yeah.
A what?
Dance hall.
Dance hall. And so it was late. It was like 2:30 in the morning. Everybody was leaving. He was on his motorcycle, and he was just off the backside of Fort Hood, Texas. Mm-hmm. And so he was just going back to the base, and he came upon a herd of cattle out meandering around in the road.
Yep.
And so he thought, he was looking at him, he was coming up on him, and then he saw on the left-hand side of the road, he saw a hole, took a hole shot, and a 1,800-pound steer just stepped out in front of him.
Wow.
And he hit it right behind the left front leg. Wow. And went about halfway through it.
Wow.
And I killed the cow, and it shattered both his forearms, and he got a real bad TBI.
Mm.
And they wanted to put him out, but he fought. He wanted to stay in. So he had 2 years of getting his arms fixed, 2 years of rehabilitation. And that's where the night it happened, the next morning, his first sergeant called me and said, you know, this is first sergeant. I can't remember his name now. He says, your son's been in an accident. I said, oh, what happened? He says, well, he hit a cow. And then I said, yeah, okay, here we go. Yeah, somebody's playing with me.
Yeah.
And that then he reaffirmed. And so I was packing for a job, you know, doing construction work, and I just started repacking, and he said, we've talked to the Red Cross. We're going to get you out of here.
Wow.
So I got out there to Texas that night, and went and saw him in the hospital, and, you know, there's my son in the coma.
Mm. So that has to be one of the worst experiences of your life.
Yeah. I don't think I left the room except to go to the bathroom for like 3 days. I just sat on the chair next to him, just rubbing his one arm was already cast, but the other arm, they didn't know he'd broken it. And so I just sat there just rubbing his arm, just crying. It was terrible.
No, it was.
That was his first scare, first time he scared me.
Yeah. Did you, I believe you had shared with me, was that the time that you stayed with at the Fisher House during that?
Yes, ma'am. That place, the Red Cross hooked us up with them. We're up in Fort Hood. Then they, after 11 days, he started coming out of coma. So they moved him down to San Antonio. He was stable to move. Yeah. And that's when they got us down there. They just hooked us up to Fisher House. Yeah. And the Red Cross had been paying for a hotel room. I mean, the Red Cross is a wonderful thing.
Yep.
Support the Red Cross.
Yep. Well, and just for our audience who's new to the Fisher House, they're like the Ronald McDonald for military.
Exactly.
That's the easiest way to say it. And they have they'll be opening their 100th Fisher House this year.
Right.
And they are, Fisher Houses are on military bases and near military hospitals.
Right.
To support families and who are connected to the military. Yeah. And while they're receiving treatments. So
it's a phenomenal organization. Those guys, I mean, I couldn't afford to stay in a hotel.
Yeah. So Jay, I think we need to take a break. Just
wait
one second, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active, available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, we're back here with Tom, and we've gotten to a pivotal point because Jack has had his first motorcycle accident. Tom's been at Fisher House, but Jack heals. He's got 2 years of rehab, and he
gets back to active duty.
I know, he gets back to
active duty. And what does Jack do in his first, what is he reassigned to?
He was a cavalry scout, a ground cavalry scout. He was a leg, that wouldn't jump out of airplanes. But he had been to, just before the accident, in another month, he was going to come back to Fort Bragg because he had been to jump school, airborne. He gets a lawyer, and he had to go through two other med boards, take a bunch of PT tests, skills tests, and they let him stay in.
Yeah.
So he.
Because Jack loves the military.
I'm sorry?
Jack loves the military.
Yeah. And he still wishes he was in, but anyway. So he comes back to Fort Bragg, and starts jumping out of airplanes.
That was the part that I really liked, and I wanted our listeners and viewers to be able to get a sense of that. Jack is a unique character, which I think is an extension of Tom.
Yes, I do.
Honestly, and he gets a lot from his dad, but he's fearless in that. And I think about a lot of our service members who are just they give so much, and they're fearless in that. And Jack's not going to stop living because Jack still has a motorcycle. And so years go down the road. So let's jump to the next scenario. So life gets back into normal. Would you say that's right, Tom?
Yeah. Yeah. He came down to Fort Bragg. He met a girl. Mm-hmm. She moved in. They were going to get married. And then he had this second accident. He's jumping out of airplanes. He had 35 jumps before he got hurt. And loved jumping out of airplanes, loved being a Cav Scout, loved the Army stuff.
Yeah.
And then when this accident happened, it was really ironic because his fiance was going through, she was going to be an occupational therapist. And so, this was perfect. And she told me when we first saw her, that when I came down to see him, and she said that I'm staying with him. I love him. Awesome. I said, that's a lot of work.
Well, he had another accident, right? He had a motorcycle accident.
So. Yeah, he came down here. He went out, drove his motorcycle out to have dinner. Then he went to the store where his fiance worked, talked to her, said, I'm going to go home and play with the dogs. And so he left there. He was just meandering. He's, like I say, he's an excellent motorcycle rider. And he knew not to get tickets. He's never gotten a ticket. So he's just meandering down 50-mile-an-hour road, and old man backs out of a driveway in front of him. He forces him off the road to the left. He goes into a ditch, went butt over tea kettle, landed on the back of his neck and head and shoulders, and his T7 vertebrae burst right up between his shoulder blades. And from there, he was paralyzed from the sternum down. Surgery went great. It didn't sever his spinal cord,
mm-hmm.
but the surgery went great. They fused the 6 and 8, and now they're just waiting. They said he should, because he's young. He said he could walk again, but it's hard to say whether the nerves reconnect or what.
Yeah.
So we're like, so that's the second phone call that you get. And you're like, so what happens with that call? I'm kind of curious. Are you thinking he's going to be fine? I've got no worries this time because he was fine. He's healed up. So from the first one, what are you thinking with this one? Jack, I'm taking your motorcycle, or how's this working?
He's a grown man.
Yes.
I want him to, I can't take away from him what I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I still have a bike.
Yeah.
So my older sister asked me, she says, well, are you going to get rid of your bike now? I said, I didn't wreck my bike.
That's true.
But with that phone call, I mean, what is your mindset there? Are you thinking, you know, he's going to heal up fine? Is that kind of what your future is looking like?
Well, that's what I was hoping.
Yeah.
I mean, when I got the phone call, and then I, you know, when I came down, I found out the extent of the injuries and spoke to the doctors and found out everything. So it's just a day-to-day thing. I mean, he goes to the Richmond VA where the spinal place is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one doctor will say, well, you are where you are. And then the other doctors, well, no, we have hope.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he has volunteered to go anywhere to do stems. He'll throw his body at it. He just says, I just want to walk again.
Well, and that's understandable.
He says, I'm not done.
Yeah.
Well, so. And I definitely think he's not done.
Yeah.
I think he's doing lots of great things though. So I think, he's got the fiance, and you had mentioned this just a second ago, and that they were together for a year. She said she was going to stick with it, and then she decided this is not for me.
Yeah. Well, she wanted to further her career. She was managing a Walgreens and wanted to do this other stuff, and she was a reservist.
Mm.
So she went back to schools and did what she's done, and she's off, you know, doing her thing, and you know, good for her.
Yeah.
But
Somebody has to help Dugan, right?
I'm sorry?
Somebody has to help Dugan, though. At this point, she's leaving. And what's the conversation with you guys?
Well, I could see the thing, you know, because I'd come down and see him whenever I could. Yeah. And I could just see that there just wasn't anything there. It's just, I just thought through Dugan because, you know, he's wondering, you know, what's going to happen? You know, who's going to take care of me?
Yeah.
Or who's going to help me out and I'll take care of him? But who's going to help him out? So the one time I came down, I was coming out of the shower. She's standing in the hallway, and she just says, we need to talk. And I just looked out. I said, when are you leaving? And that kind of caught her off guard. But then she just says, I just can't do it. I said, whatever you have to do, you go ahead and do it. I said, can you give me until March so I can quit work? Because I was doing construction now. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, yeah. So I went to work and called my boss and said, I'm out of here. End of the month. I said, I got to go down and take care of Dugan. And everybody knew him. They just said, you got to do that. Yeah. So
it was never a second. You're just like, done. No thought about it. No hiring anybody else to help. Nothing like that. You're like,
no,
I'm going. Done.
No, because the things that had to be done with him, you know, some of his medical treatments and stuff, I wouldn't want anybody else doing that to my son.
Yeah.
You know, when he was in the hospital, the nurse would come in and say, Jack, have you had your shower? He said, well, I'll be right back to help you with your shower. And I said, I'll do this.
Yeah.
I got that. Because then he just looked at me and said, are you sure? I said, well, you're not going to wash him as good as I will.
I've been washing for a long time.
I love you. For all those reasons. You know, I think, so you guys move in, and how... Does it go as you expect? Like your first, so now you're going into the full-time caregiver role with him. And I very much see this. I appreciate that you said, I don't take care of him. You know, I support him. I help him where he needs help. Because a lot of people, and my husband would be the same way, would be like, you know, I just need you to help me. I don't want you to take care of me. Because there's a different connotation to that, even though the definition is still there. I want to empower the person that I'm helping, caring for. I want them to feel like they can do things. Because I'm assuming you don't do everything for Jack. I think that he does some of his own things. He's independent in that sense. How did you all find that balance?
He won't let me. A lot of stuff and then I get ticked off at him because I said, dude, I'll get that. He goes, I got it, Dad. You know, it's just this stuff like, you know, doing dishes. Because the counters are high. And, you know, he's in a wheelchair. So he says, I got it. And, I mean, he's very proud. He's you're not going to push him around. And, I mean, in all the cycling he does, the Wounded Warriors and Valor Games, all this stuff.
Yeah.
From the chest, from what he's got control of, he is a hoss. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got arms. You don't want to grab him because he'll pull you down into that wheelchair. But But he's a very prideful kid and just, you know, he does everything he can, but there's just some stuff he can't.
Right. Yeah.
So, I'm just here for that. And I guess you're going to ask about the caregivers thing, how I got into that and stuff.
Yeah.
So, well, people keep on. I got down here and I don't know how I got involved with the care. I think Dubin might have said something to me about caregivers, being a caregiver. So I called the caregiver number and talked to them, and a young lady just helped me out. They turned me on to this. You have to take this course. You have to read a bunch of stuff, watch videos, and then take tests, a couple of tests you have to take. Then they sign you up. They send you a letter that allows you to go into the on base and go to the PX.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a great organization. They help you out financially if you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of support there. Probably 3-4 times a week, they'll send an email, you know, offering you to, you know, listen in on moral support, you know, financial support classes. I mean, they're all the time trying to help if you want the help or if you need the help.
Yeah, and this is the the Veterans Caregiver Support.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. So you move in. How long have you and Dugan lived together in this relationship?
Oh, here? I moved in here March of 22.
So you guys are a little over 2 years. And what would you say is the challenging part? And when I say that, for example, a challenging part for JJ and I and our younger sister, Emily, is the relationship, trying to maintain our relationship with our mom as daughters and try not to be, because we've seen a role reversal with our mom, for example. Now, mind you, you're the parent and he's the son, so there's that. And I don't know if you ever pull that card on him, like, I'm your dad. Like, how does that role, like, between caregiver and dad?
Well, I really don't look, I don't even think about the caregiver thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm here with him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like back in high school, except now he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
But he's independent. He's, you know, he's been his own man. He's been to war. He's, you know, he's got all his own stuff. He's grown up.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I got to say, you know, I feel like more of a friend than a father. I said, why do you make me be a dad? Why can't you just, let's just get along? What? Because we're both stubborn as crap. I mean, we are.
I am shocked by that.
I know, I am too.
I know, but a lot of people are. You got to hang around us and get to know us.
Yeah, really. So,
but that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. But I think, you know, I'm assuming you all still have normal, like, frustrations with each other. And sometimes you get, everybody needs to go to their separate corner. I do that even with my own husband when he was sick.
He did and that with mom.
I do that with mom. We do it with our mom.
Yeah.
And I think that's normal. So, you know, I think, I think before I go into this, I'm going to take a break real quick.
Yes.
I'm actually going to take a break real quick because we were late on our last one. So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, everybody, we are back here with Tom, and we're getting into some stuff. So Tom and Jack, they're doing great. They are living together. They've been living together since 2022.
That's right.
But we want to talk about, is there any like frustrating moments? Like, because first of all, it's, you know, my your parent role. But then secondly, you guys are living together. Like, I remember I moved back in with mom and dad for a short period of time as an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about, are there frustrating times for you guys?
Not really. I mean, I guess if I were younger, it would make a difference because I would probably want more of a social life. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm my age, you know, it's just, I mean, this is me. This is what I do. Yeah. And I get not frustrated. I don't think that's the correct word because that makes it sound like a big deal.
Yeah.
It's, like I said, I've got this new motorcycle and I just don't get to ride it because I'm in Fayetteville and there's just not a good place around here to ride because we used to go to the mountains all the time. So, you know, I don't ride, but we shoot. We do a lot of shooting.
Yeah.
He does a lot of cycling. And, you know, we have a few places that we like to go have a friendship.
Otherwise known as bars. We can say appropriate. It's not a wordy dirt.
Okay. We got some really good bars.
You know, I think I love that you guys have found and established what looks like and seems like your new normal. And so my question to you, and this one's a bit tougher, is that I don't know if you know this, but you're not a spring chicken. I know.
What?
A puppy.
He's
not a puppy, although they do have a puppy. Do you worry about, and this is like parents who take care of children who have disabilities and things like that. Do you worry about Dugan's future?
Yeah.
When you're not around? And how have you all thought about planning for if something happens not that you pass, but something happens where you couldn't be able to care for him? How do you all think about those conversations?
Well, I don't know if he thinks about it because, I mean, we're open with most things, but there's some things we keep private. I worry more about it than I'm sure he does. I mean, I still get around good. I'm okay. You know, I get, you know, back pains from wearing a police belt for 34 years and stuff like that. But I do worry. I mean, because the things that, you know, certain procedures that have to be done, but see, he's taking care of that, one of them. But I just don't want anybody else taking care of my son. Yeah. I'm not, and someone's going to have to one day. Yeah. If he doesn't get to walking, you know, someone's going to have to step in. So.
And would you say that you're planned for that now? Do you feel like have you planned for that for now? Or you're still a little avoidant personality?
Yeah. I'm avoiding it. That's one of those things I'm going to contact caregivers.
Yeah.
Because like I said, there's all kinds of support programs they have. And it'd be as simple as somebody, because Dugan can do for himself. But I just look at if he were to fall out of his wheelchair and get wedged in somewhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's stuff like that. But and that's the reason I don't just take off and go on my days. You know, if he says go somewhere, and I just don't go because I just, what if something happens? But that's me.
Yeah. So, but you also ridiculously love your son. And yeah. I think that, and I say, when I say ridiculously, I mean that in the kindest sense, like the level of unconditional love that you have for him is, and it's not obligation. I like how you say it's willing obligation, but the more we talk, the more I'm like, it's like second nature. So.
Well, you know, what's an old country song? You'll always be my baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when that song was out, he didn't like it when I'd sing it to his friends, but he'll always be my baby.
I'm sure that went over well. So what would you, for other parents who find themselves in these places, do you have words of advice, tips or tricks, things that you would say to people, to other caregivers? These are things that you're going to feel and this is okay. What are things that you would tell other people, insights that you've learned over the years?
Just be prepared, because I've got years in front of me, but what's going to happen? You have to have a support group. You have to have other family if you have other family.
Yeah.
And other than that, I'm just gonna have to get with the VA. If something happens to me, who can my son call to get assistance? Because he does, my older sister's, she's older than I am.
Right.
But she's healthy as she can be. But that's it. My little sister's, she lives her life down in South Carolina, but it's not their position to take care of Dugan. So I don't know. So something that, hopefully he'll find a girl. So.
Oh, we didn't even talk
about
dating.
It's something I need to think about that we need to make arrangements for, but I don't know. Just family. Just hopefully you got enough family and extended family that somebody can step in.
I think planning is one of the hardest things, though, Tom. Yeah. Our mom and dad did not plan for them, and our mom has Parkinson's, and so when Dad passed at 58, our mom was 57. Mm-hmm. My dad had planned. They had discussed, and God did not go with that plan. That they assumed she would pass first, and they did not plan that way. And so it was really hard. And I think what I hear you saying is, because it's hard. Our parents, nobody wants to talk about it with people, because we're talking about death and dying, or we're talking about if I have a serious injury. And they didn't have the POA. They didn't have a lot of things that we needed to support our mom. And so I think I hear you saying, hey, guys, make sure that you plan. And I'm saying that to myself, like, we're going to have, because it's a difficult, uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
I have.
And that's something that I've, you bringing it up. It's something I've known that I have to do. Yeah. But, how do I pick somebody to take care of my son?
Yeah. Well, and for most caregivers and even the care recipient, if you think about it, I know how I'm going to care for Jason. And, when Jason said to me, hey, Natalie, it seems like this is getting hard for you, because it was hard for me. Maybe we need to call someone else. I was so unbelievably offended. Like, what do you mean? Nobody can take care of you like I can. And then I'm thinking, well, probably better. But because I suck sometimes.
I don't know you that well, but that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that, Tom. I'm glad that we're really like that close. And so Jason would confirm. But the inside of me might be like, yeah, I do need some help. Yeah, I do need some help. And even though it's hard even on our own ego to let go of some of these tasks. And I know, without you saying it, that it is hard for you to let go of some other tasks. And so I think we would encourage our listeners to, even though if you're the primary caregiver, you got to give yourself a break too. And how do you plan for that?
Yeah.
And sure, you miss out on, you miss out on a lot of stuff. But when you have kids and then you have issues like this, you're going to do what you got to do.
Exactly.
Or want to do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm where I want to be.
And it is a choice. I hear you saying over and over, it is a choice. And these are the choices you make. And I don't hear anything about like, oh, poor, pitiful me. No. I've given up my life for this. It's like, oh, I get to do this. And that's what I hear you saying.
Evidently.
And then also saying, and some days it's just hard.
Yeah,
and then we get over it and we're back to whatever. I can't believe our time's already up. I love Tom. Well, and we're going to see Tom in D.C.
Yes.
When we record our PBS special, and Jack's going to be there. Dugan. I count now it's just Jack and Dugan.
Yeah.
Where does Dugan come from?
He was born in Wilmington.
Okay. I still don't know what that means.
I know.
It's just so pretty. Jack was Beth's dad's name.
Mm-hmm.
And we loved him. I loved him. And so, I wanted to name, and Dugan is an Irish name from my mom's side of the family.
Yeah.
My little sister was Jenny Dugan DeLue. And so Jack is Jack Dugan DeLue.
Oh, so Dukin is his middle name.
Dukin's his middle name.
Okay, yeah. So I need
I thought it just sounded like a tough little nut. Okay. You know, Jack Dugan.
It does sound Jack Reacher.
But then our family called him Dugan, and everybody called him Dugan until his mother and I split up. Then her family started calling him Jack, but she'll still call him Dugan.
Yeah. So I like
that.
It.
He's good with either. He doesn't.
I know it's the same way with us. We actually answer to the dog's names, so we were so used to it.
Yeah, whatever our mom called us,
just whatever, no big deal. You can tell we're good Southerners. Yes. You know, it is time for sister questions.
I'm ready.
JJ, Jack, Tom, are you ready?
Go.
Okay, so I read an article about you guys because you know you're practically famous, and says Jack remains adamant that events like participating in the Warrior Games wouldn't have happened without his father by his side. So my question is, what does Dugan make possible for you? What does he change?
He makes me proud. I mean, he's just the coolest little kid. And, you know, we always joke about if he's really mine, you know, this and that. And, I wouldn't do that being 23 because I don't want to find out I got any more kids. but he's a little me. He's a mini me, which I'm sorry for him. But we people will ask a question, we'll say the same thing at the same time. And he's just a great kid. Everybody loves him. He makes me proud.
I know. I can't wait to meet you guys. Here's my question, and it won't make you cry. And it has to be a clean answer, Tom. So okay. You're going to really have to think before you speak. And our audience is like, we don't know something. I'm like,
y'all
trust
me. Y'all are giving people a bad impression of me.
Oh.
Great guy.
I know. What is your favorite guilty pleasure? What is the thing that you do just for yourself? When you have time for yourself, what is the thing that you prefer to do just for yourself?
I don't really have anything anymore since I don't ride my motorcycle anymore. We make plans to go shoot. We love shooting. We have an incredible range down here to shoot at. And then nobody monitors over you. They don't care. So we shoot, go to different little, but we look for old GI bars. We just everything. I don't have it for myself thing anymore. And I don't mean to sound pitiful or anything, but no, it's just hanging out and having fun with him.
Well, and I think it's the piece that your guilty pleasure is that how much you love your shared experience with him.
Yeah.
Like getting to do that with him. And I know that you've talked to me about, you know, going and shooting together or when you're at the Warrior Games. I know those are things that fulfill your bucket because when he's happy, I know you're happy.
Yeah. But yeah, and the war, he loves the Valor Games. They have some Valor Games up around Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit, it's smaller than the Warrior Games. The Warrior Games is so regimented. It's a great thing they do. Great support that they give these soldiers an out, you know, something to look forward to. And he likes the competition. But he just likes cycling.
I've seen this.
He's just fun to be with. We have so much fun together.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love this.
Picking ourselves and picking on everybody else, whether they hear us or not, we have fun.
That's all that matters.
Well, and you know, this is one. Thank you, Tom, for being with us, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you.
I can't wait to get to meet you guys in person, and I can't wait. Definitely, our listeners, you'll have to watch the PBS special because we're interviewing all of our guests, but they're also bringing their loved ones with them, and there'll be special segments, so you'll get to see Dugan and Tom together. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be one good time.
I know.
And so guys, thank you so much for being part of and listening to our Heroes Caring for Heroes series, and sponsored by?
It is sponsored by CVS Health and Tenna. The number one incontinence brand.
We also have our friends from Care Forward
and Summit Behavioral
Healthcare. And the Fisher House.
And the Fisher House, who we love.
We have lots of people who are supporting the series. And you know what? It's growing year over year. And, you know, there's a lot of other partners that we definitely want to make sure that you listen into the series. We've got educational episodes But you will definitely, you'll definitely want to listen in. Tom, thank you again.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all very much.
Appreciate you.
I look forward to meeting y'all.
Yep, absolutely. All right, guys, until we confess again, we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Well, friends, that's a wrap for today's educational episode. Thank you for listening to our special series, Heroes Caring for Heroes, on UK Health Radio. And don't forget to visit our website to sign up for our monthly newsletter, sign up for the free Sisterhood Advantage Discount Club, and of course, connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, Twitter, and Pinterest. You'll also find the video recording of all of our episodes on the Confessions website and our YouTube channel. We'll see you next time when we confess again. Till then, take care of you.